Doing Alma Herman, who lives in Bethany Homes here in Fargo, North Dakota. And we'll be talking today about the life of Alma and her family and so forth. So Alma, tell me your full name and your date of birth and where were you born?
My name is Alma. My middle initial is M for Miranda Herman. I was born on April 20th in 1908. In Pomona View Township, 6 miles east of Culm, North Dakota.
Hmm. Yeah. And what is your father's name?
My father's name was Friedrich Hermann.
Oh. And
What else?
What village was he born in South Russia?
In the village of Berezina. Both my parents were born in the same village. They were born in Berezina.
Okay. And are they buried over there too?
No, they're here. They came to America. They were pioneers in North Dakota. And they are buried in the Berezina Cemetery, east of Culm, North Dakota.
I see. Okay. What was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Johanna in German. Johanna Belder.
Oh.
But we Americanized so many of these names and words, so we always wrote her name Belter, B-E-L-T-E-R, but it was spelled with an A umlaut, B-A-L-T-E-R. Johanna Belter was my mother's name.
Okay. And what village did she...
She was in the same village where my father was. So they were both born
there. They met and married there, huh?
Uh-huh, they were both there.
I see. Where is she buried now?
She is also buried in that same cemetery east of Culm.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 6 sisters and 5 brothers. We were 12 all together.
Is that right? Big family.
Big family.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Can you give their names in order of their birth?
Yes. You'll be
12 of them.
Surprised. They all end in A, I think.
Okay.
There was Matilda, Maria, Johanna, Amalia, and then there was Jacob, my brother. There was Rosalia, Martha, and my brother Richard, Frederick, Harry, and William.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of those your brothers and sisters living yet?
There are just 3 of us of the 12. We have a sister in Chicago who is completely disabled. She's in her 90s. She's in a nursing home. And I have a brother, Harry. My second youngest brother is in suburb of L.A. in California. Mm-hmm. And I'm here. There are just 3 of us left of the 12.
Of the 12, huh?
Mm-hmm. And the one is disabled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose you don't get to see them.
No, because it's so far and it's hard to get there.
Right.
Chicago is a big place, you know.
You bet. Do you have any memories of what your mother may have told you about the old country? Did she say anything? Or?
My parents were reticent about talking about Russia because of the Tsar and because of they're leaving the country because they were so unhappy with the government, you know, all of that. So my father hardly ever talked about it because he was just not a talkative person like about that. But my mother, my mother told me some very interesting things. There was a beautiful landscape that my mother often talked about. That there was the Dniester, D-N-I-E-S-T, the Dniester River was near their home, and there was a moat around it. There's a history about why they had moats around their church,
their village, you mean?
Not the village, but the arbor, grape arbors.
Oh.
And they had moats around them. And she loved that arbor. It was kind of her project because my father was a carpenter and cabinet maker. He took care of all of the things that need to be made in the village. He worked on the wagons. He made all the furniture. He made the cradles for the children. He made the coffins. He made everything.
Is that right?
But he was a master carpenter. He had done 7 years of apprenticeship.
Mm.
And he did not want to leave the village of Beresina because he loved his neighbors. He loved the...
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that they came is really a long other story, why they really came.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the history about the moat around the harbor?
Oh, yes, because marauders came and they would ruin these grape arbors.
Hmm.
And they would get in there and they would, well, do harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost all of the people who had these grape places that they used for wine, they made so much wine, they drank wine at their meals. They didn't drink coffee or milk or anything. They always drank wine.
Is that right?
And they were healthy. They lived a long time.
The children too? Did they drink wine then?
Well, no, there were only four. When they left Russia, there were only four children. Four little girls came with them.
Oh, I see.
So four of the 12 were born in
there.
Bessarabia.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's in Bessarabia. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so your father didn't tell you too much about the old country?
No, my father was very unhappy with the fact that in the first place they had to leave his business and everything.
Right.
Now, there were four brothers who came with my grandfather's family when they came here, and all four of them were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have enough land, they didn't have enough of anything, but my father was perfectly happy. He had his own business. He was the only one out of the boys
mm-hmm.
that wanted to stay and continue his business there. But when they all came, my grandfather said that whoever did not come to America would be disinherited, and he did have money.
Mm-hmm.
And mother didn't want to
stay behind.
Didn't want to stay behind, or and my father felt he shouldn't either, and let her family go away. So he came, but he was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Never happy over it. So he hardly talked about it, and he hated the Kaiser. Hated the Kaiser.
So many times it's the women that resent being here more so maybe
that's
than the men.
That's right.
But in this case it was a little
this
different.
This case it was my father.
Oh, that's
my mother was the one. There's a story, but again, these stories are so involved, they would make this too long. There are so many little stories.
Well, I'll come back another time
another
and hear
time
some of the
we'll
stories.
We'll get some of the little stories, okay.
Yeah, they make it interesting.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So your grandparents, did you know your grandparents then?
I do not remember my grandmother. My grandmother belonged to a family that had a wool dyeing business, and they,
is that your mother's?
That was on my father's side.
Oh, your father's side. Okay.
I don't know anything about my grandparents or my mother's. I don't know.
Oh,
and she told me, but I forgot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But my grandmother died because she had TB when they came, and lived only about, well, less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not strong at all. They had to lift her up onto the train and onto the ship and all.
Mm.
And so she died very soon after. But my grandfather lived near where we were on the homestead, and he was a very almost gruff. As I remember him, he was not a gentle person,
mm.
nothing like my father.
Oh.
So I do not remember him other than that he was just gruff.
He was pretty strict with his family, huh?
Too strict. Yeah. And that kind of made a difference to all of them.
You bet.
Yeah, he was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever talk about the churches in the village there?
Well, not my parents so much, but my oldest sister, Matilda, who was 8 years old, a very bright girl.
Okay.
And she used to tell me how she couldn't wait on Sunday mornings to go to the church. They had a very beautiful church. And she couldn't wait to get there. She loved school, she loved the church. And the nicest thing she thought was that in the entry, in the ceiling, they had painted an angel with bright blue wings And she always told about that. Oh, how pretty that was when she could go to Sunday school and see that angel on the ceiling.
Was that a Lutheran church or a Catholic church?
It was Lutheran at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were very against the Catholics. Lutheran and Catholic were not so good together.
No. And you knew that, huh? I mean, they made that known.
Oh, yes, they made that known.
That's even your parents?
Yes, my parents too. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So if you would have married a Catholic, that would have been not so good.
That wouldn't have been. Uh-huh. That not.
I wonder, do you have any idea how big your home was in the German village?
I only know from I've done a lot of research for the library and a lot about Berezina village. And so I know generally how the houses were built and how they were generally styled. Mm-hmm. I know that. And then much later, I saw a picture that they had sent, those people who didn't come to America had sent a picture of the house. Mm. Because my Uncle Rudolph was my mother's brother. He had the house, so they sent us. It was a nice large house with large windows and a picket fence.
Oh, see, they were... They had some money. I mean, it was not a. They were
comfortable.
They
were not poor.
Uh huh. No. Mm, yeah. Mm. You remember anything else? Any other special features that they may have told you, or your older sisters, or your grandma?
About the house, the very special feature was my father was also an artist. He had a wonderful hand. He could do German script. Mm. He was just a very, very artistic, able man. He was the carpenter who built our little country church.
Out in Culm?
East of Culm, mm-hmm. in the country. Mm-hmm. And we have always had this little wonderful thing that he did. Over the doorway of it, in German script, he had written in with black paint, he had written, "How lovely are thy dwellings," from the 84th Psalm. Hmm. And we treasured that so much that when they took the church away and made a funeral chapel out of it in the town of Culm, my brothers took the old boards that my father had painted on, and they had my brother Harry, who was also an artist, retrace it all, so it's at home on the homestead from the church, and the church has long since been dismantled and gone.
Does somebody live on that homestead?
No, nobody lives there now. The house is empty, but it's still in the family.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But that artist, is that his painting there? Or, I mean, that's there, huh?
That's there. That's
quite special.
That's in the house, and then in the summertime they move it out in the garden.
Oh,
it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be maybe given to a museum.
I hope so. I hope so, because it was done way back. They came to North Dakota in 1989, and they built the church. My father was the carpenter for the church, and they built it, I think, the fourth year they were there. My father built the church. And so it's old. It's old.
Mm-hmm. And you worry about vandalism on the... On the abandoned farm.
So they don't leave it out except in the summer when someone is there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very special.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember speaking German when you were a child?
None of us knew English, but there again, there's a long story that makes this interesting to me. They lived in a sod house. They had two sod houses. One wore out, and they built another sod house before they could build a frame house.
Oh.
And when my oldest sister, who was eight, she's the first one that went to a country school there, and we couldn't talk any English at all because the folks couldn't either, and they were learning, though they were very, very interested in education, and they learned very fast. Father did.
They pushed education then, huh?
Mm-hmm. And my father said, I remember when they were discussing it of an evening, many times they didn't know, those kids were all over, and they couldn't have much privacy with 12. Of course,
no.
They were never all there, you know.
Yeah.
you know, the first half was gone and married by the time the second half came.
Yeah.
But sometimes when they talked, they would let their hair down, and then we would be listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there talking about my father said he knew a way to help the kids learn English in a hurry. And mother said, how? And he said, we'll have the teacher board here, and he can teach them. But mother said, not very long. I haven't any room for the kids. I can't have anybody.
Yeah.
But he was there for long enough so that my older sister, who was a very smart kid,
mm-hmm.
soon learned the English, and she taught all the rest of them down the
right
line
down
and
the
taught
line.
Each other. And by the time they went to school, there was no problem.
Oh. Did they continue to speak German in the home then?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
oh, yes.
Even though the kids knew it.
But my mother always used to say she wasn't going to speak it. She didn't want to sound so, you know, they speak with a brogue when they have to learn it
right. That
way. And she said, I'm not going to talk like that. I'm going to talk German. But one time there was a family joke. She was alone, and somebody came from the neighborhood to borrow something. And he happened to be not German. So he spoke to her in English. And whoever was there in the house said, I heard her, and there was nothing wrong. She spoke English just fine. But she wouldn't do it when we were listening.
Oh, that's funny. getting off the track a little bit. Do you remember your neighbors around there? Did your family, did they associate with the neighbors?
Oh, yes.
Were they all Germans?
They were all Germans.
Oh.
It was a strange thing. There was the town of Culm, which was built really around a flour mill.
Oh.
And all north and west were all Swedish people. And all south and east were all Germans. But when they came to town and mixed, they couldn't speak together, but there was never a problem between the Swedes and the Germans.
Oh.
Never a problem.
So your parents didn't have any resentments against nationalities?
No, they were not prejudiced.
Yeah.
Now, where was I? What was I talking about?
That's what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, you know, the German language a little bit. Do you remember them reading the Bible at home?
Oh, my father read the Bible every day.
The German Bible they brought with them,
And there was a chair, there was a rocker by the west window in the living room, and there was a sewing machine beside it, and the top of it closed up, and there was a top there. And my father's Bible was lying on that sewing machine all the time, and the chair was beside it. And when he was through with his work, he was in that chair reading his Bible. He was also a Vorsteher in German, they call it,
mm-hmm.
of the church for many, many years. He was Sunday school teacher for 40 years.
40 years?
Yes, and he knew his Bible very well.
Mm-hmm.
He had the pastors were his friends. He was well educated
mm-hmm.
in the Bible. Very strict. My father was very strict.
He was, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did he teach the Bible to you or read the Bible to the family?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He read, usually read loud. Mother always wanted him to read while she was busy working, sewing or mending or something like that. He read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We knew all the Bible stories. I still know them from the way my father told them.
Mm-hmm. Were you confirmed then too in the
Lutheran
Church?
Yes, we were confirmed. We would have to board in town because the roads wouldn't be, you know, suitable, and we didn't have transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So we would board in room and board in town for 3 weeks. And in that time, we memorized all the special passages of the Bible. We learned to write German script. And we knew all of the books of the Bible.
In German now? Was all this learned in German?
This was all in German because
yeah.
they wanted to keep their habits and their things.
Okay.
This is what was so much trouble in Russia. Because the government was taking everything away from them, and they said the Queen had promised them they wouldn't have to give up any German.
That's right.
And then when it happened in history, they had to give up so much. That's another reason they just wouldn't stay there.
Mm-hmm. And if their religion was touched, that was a very sensitive thing.
Oh, yes, that was, you know, that was very, very close, very important in our house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was your father a gentle man then, did you say?
My father was a very strict man, but he was a gentleman. He was a man of few words. But when he spoke, he had already thought. Mm-hmm. He never spoke without thinking. And when you heard my father make an announcement or speak then, we knew that this was it. And he was a wonderful, wonderful speaker. Mm-hmm. He spoke at church conferences and he was a man of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason that he was so strict was when they came to America on the Kaiser Wilhelm, that great, great boat. I have pictures of it. Oh, I have everything. When they came, they were in a storm, and he had his four daughters, and the whole whole group came. Mm-hmm. And there was a violent storm at sea, and my father went somewhere privately, my mother told me this, and prayed that his family would get safe voyage to America. Mm-hmm. And when he came back from that and the storm was over, he told my mother that he had an experience and that he was converted. And he had promised God that if God would let him bring his family to America safely and outlive this storm, mm-hmm. he would serve him forever. And he did.
Oh,
he did. He served in every capacity. Was a brilliant man. If he could have been educated, he would have been outstanding.
Right. Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, as far as discipline in the family, then he...
My mother did that.
Oh, your mother did that.
But my father, if she sent us to my father, he didn't have to say much. All he would have to do is look you straight in the eye. And maybe say one or two things. Why did you do that? Or very few. And my father never in the world touched me. I was never spanked.
Really?
By my father. I was slapped on the bottom once in a while by mother, but my father never spanked me.
There was none of that in the family then?
No.
And he treated your mother well then too,
Oh, yes. My mother was... He didn't dare other than treat my mother well, because she stood up for herself.
You hear about these German families where mm-hmm. the father is really
the
ruler. But in your family, would you say it was mutual agreement that, as far as discipline and even other family decisions between mother and father?
When it came to big decisions, my mother really would turn it over to my father. But generally, just living in the run of the mill and the mm-hmm. exchanges between the children and all, mm-hmm. There she didn't usually send us to my father. Mm-hmm. She would take
care
of
it.
She handled it.
Yeah.
She was mm-hmm. quite a woman. She had a beautiful soprano voice.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely lyric voice. And
to sing?
Well, not like you. She would have if she hadn't been out there where there was no opportunity. All of us sang, all 12 of us sang, and there's a story that they told us when my second oldest sister was old enough. In those days, the girls would work out, they used to call it. They would go to neighbors' houses who needed help with their children or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Johanna went to work for a lady, a wonderful lady who had an organ, and she was a good musician and a good singer. And so she made an agreement, this woman made an agreement and said to my father, if you let me have the girl for the winter, I will teach her to play the organ. And she worked the winter and helped the woman in the housework and came home in the spring. And she taught everyone down the line to play the parlor organ.
Is that right?
Every one of us played some. Some played better.
Yeah.
Some later on in school went to take music formally.
Mm-hmm.
But there was not a person in my family of 12 that couldn't play the simplest little song.
And you had a parlor organ then?
Yes, we had a parlor organ, and later my sister, who was working in Minneapolis, sent us a secondhand piano for Christmas that the people she worked for, when she told them how much we sang, how good the voices were, this woman said, "I want a new piano. You can send this home to your farm." Mm-hmm. And we were the first in the whole neighborhood that had a piano. Oh, Molly mm-hmm. sent it to us.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, but before that we had the organ, and then mm-hmm. for a while we had both the organ. And my father played the accordion in the old country.
Mm.
And my mother said that he used to play for dances, but he didn't bring his accordion. I don't know why. He just didn't. We never saw his accordion, but they said he was. So that's where it came from. My mother's lyric, beautiful voice, and my father's ability to play the accordion, every one of us sang.
Isn't that something?
We had a family quartet, we had a mixed quartet, and sometimes the whole family sang for Sunday evening services and things. We all sang very well.
Oh, that is just, what did you sing?
We sang all the wonderful songs. I can't think of the German songs now, but one that we always used was "Gott ist die Liebe."
I know that.
Everybody sang that. We knew all the songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm doing here now? This is far. Am I going too far afield here?
No.
Stop me if I go too far. I took music in school, so I was good on the piano, and I had voice lessons. But I had never played an organ. I had the little parlor organ. I played that. That's where I learned, mm-hmm. but not a real church organ
mm-hmm.
until I came here. And then one day they brought in an organ into one of the rooms. And do you know that I have played this organ almost every day since I came here 2 years ago?
Is that right?
And people just like those old songs, and that's what I play every morning after breakfast. I go to the
the recreation room, or
yeah, and I play hymns or songs or and I always have a little audience.
You play by ear? Do you play
half by ear? Oh. I can play some by ear, but I do need the music as a guide, otherwise I get lost.
Oh.
Then sometimes I play for Vesper services.
Hmm.
Sometimes they ask me to substitute somewhere, and I just love it. I do it all the time.
Oh, that's great. Well, you just have the music right in you.
Well, I was born with it.
Yes.
We were just born with it. Both my mother and father were beautiful singers.
Yeah. And that sometimes made the way a little easier too, to have something like that when they came to a new country. They had their music.
Yeah. Huh? There was always music in our house, always. If it wasn't somebody singing alone, it was a group singing somewhere. Mm-hmm. And evenings, I remember so well, evenings we'd get, especially after we had the piano.
Oh.
And it was wonderful. Music was much.
Did you ever play like in the town hall or something? Did they have a place like that in Culm?
No, they didn't have anything like that, but they had the Culm Church.
Oh.
And if the pastors could get us to come to Sunday evening services, they were in their glory, because we all sang for special days. We always went to town and sang in the choir there. Mm-hmm. Because there was no choir in the little church. There were so few.
So the big Lutheran church in town then
was
where?
Yeah, but this was no, they did not form a Lutheran church. They formed a congregational church.
Oh.
They wanted complete freedom, and they made their own. They belonged to the congregational board, and they wanted to make their own rules. They didn't want to be. They had some of this experience in Russia about being dictated to and being told how it must be done, and they said no, and they formed their own
church. That is
church.
Very, usually that wasn't done, you know.
No.
So that's interesting that was done in the little town of Culm.
Yeah, and then for later years, of course there was a whole, pioneers that came, they all formed congregational churches. There was a whole state full of congregational churches. They wanted away from the Lutheran or the Catholic.
That's where congregational comes from?
that's where it comes from, because the congregation is in control.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. How far were you from town?
Your 6 miles.
Oh, 6 miles. And from the country church then?
The country church, we were only about a mile and a quarter. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a beautiful little church.
Hmm. Do you remember in the graveyards where did you have those wrought iron crosses there?
Those we didn't have at all. I noticed there's a question in here, and Mr. Miller is so interested in those iron crosses. No, we didn't have anything like that. We did have, though, probably what was the closest to it, which was a wrought iron fence and a large iron gate to the cemetery. And I think that was probably the closest to these iron crosses that so many had in the western part of the state.
I think maybe that was more Catholic, too.
I think so.
Those crosses. But I think they are Lutheran, too. So did you have to do a lot of work on the farm?
Oh, dear me. We all had lots of jobs to do. Everybody had his job,
though,
so there's no problem.
Milk the cows and
separate the milk and feed the calves and wash the separator, which had about 40 little discs that you had to wash into. Oh, I hated to wash the separator.
Me too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we had to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And think of all the housework you had to do with 12 children?
But there were always one or two older sisters at home. Mm-hmm. So I was the youngest of the 7 girls. So mm-hmm. I didn't do much housework, really, because mm-hmm. there was always someone there older than I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they babied me in some ways, but not in all ways. Mm-hmm. My family was good to me, mm-hmm. very good.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. What about, you went to school, I guess, right?
Went to school.
Did all of your family go to school? Did the brothers and sisters have a chance to go
mm-hmm.
to school? I suppose when they first came, there wasn't a school there, or was
there? Yes, there was a school there.
Oh,
there were some earlier settlers that had a very small school where my oldest sister went and where that teacher taught who stayed at our home so that my older sisters could learn enough English.
Yeah.
So until we didn't have room. It was in the sod house. I wasn't there. There were only a few there. And they didn't have room. But my father said, well, that's the best way for them to learn English. And it was a good idea.
Oh, yes.
But we had no problem. All of us knew.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we went to school, it was not the problem that some kids had.
So some of the kids didn't have to stay home and work on the farm. The parents made sure that they got to school.
Well, not quite. The older boys, the school system was tailored to them because they were so restricted in the old country that they said, we're going to have our own township rules. We're going to take care of our customs and the way we want it. But the school board would allow the boys that had to stay home and work in the field in the spring, they would let them go only a few months in the winter when they weren't needed at home. But it was all agreed that they didn't have to go the full time. Our school was open only 8 months, all of them, in those years. It was open only 8 months. And then when these boys would have to stay home, they got about 5 good months during the winter where they weren't in school. Other than that, they were home working on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the girls pretty much went.
The girls went, oh yes.
Yeah.
But I was the first one who graduated from the 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
All the others either didn't care to go anymore or it wasn't, they didn't have to go the eight
mm-hmm.
years until they finished 8th grade. They just, maybe 6th grade, they would finish, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first one who wrote 8th grade examinations and got an 8th grade diploma in the whole township.
Mm.
And I was the first one to go to high school from the township. I was a pioneer.
In that way.
I did a lot of...
Did you really want to do that, or your mother, did she really want you to do that too?
Well, I wanted very much because I had a wonderful teacher when I was in the 8th grade.
Oh.
Harry Steffen was his name. He died only about 2 years ago in Wisconsin. And ever since I was in the eighth grade, that man kept in touch with me and sent me Christmas cards all those years until 2 years ago. Because he saw something that he thought that I had, and the last day of school made me promise. He said, you must go to high school, because he knew I had potential. And I said, can't, nobody went to high school. We don't have any money. I can't go to high school. Mm-hmm. And he said, you must promise me that you will find a way to go to high school. And I went to my father after I had finished the eighth grade and asked him whether it's possible that I could go. And he said, I can't give you a penny. I haven't given any money for school for anybody else. And I was the ninth child. So he said, if I can find a way, will you let me go? And he said, when you're 18, I was 14 then, and he said, you can go to high school when you're 18, because you have to be home with mother till you're 18. And so I abided by that, waited for the time. Harry Steffen from Wisconsin kept writing me letters and encouraging me, telling me what to do, because the schools were out in 8 months, and the teachers went home and away. And so there was no one to do examinations and no family that cared whether any kids took an eighth grade examination. So they just stopped going to school. They didn't graduate from the eighth grade. But because of this teacher who had such an interest and was such a good coach for me, he also had told me, you can go to another district, you can go to town to write examinations if your school is out. And so my school was out, and then I sold a little story once about walking to town the morning that I wrote examinations with the town kids.
You did? You wrote a story and sold it?
A little story, and the name of it was, Who Took My Shoes? It's a wonderful story.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, there is so much. I've done quite a lot of little bit of writing and stuff. Uh-huh. And I have sold a few things. I used to write little stories for Rec magazine.
For which magazine?
Rec. Rural Electrification.
Okay, I know that. Uh-huh.
And that's where I would use my talents a little bit that way. I'm going too far afield. You must stop me.
Oh, this is fine. I'm curious about the title. Who stole my shoes?
Who took my shoes?
Oh, who took your shoes? Okay.
Well, it's so long until I get to that part of it. If you want me to take the time about it, I had to go. The boys and father were all in the field by the time it came to write examinations in town, and my county superintendent, who had been instructed by this teacher in Wisconsin, he had written to him, and he had told him that here was a promising kid, and he should help her write examinations. And so it was arranged with the town school board. Some of us from the country that were ready could come and write eighth grade examinations with the town kids. Yeah. Well, the morning came for me to go and write eighth grade examinations. It had all been prepared for me. Yes. And that morning, Father took all the horses they went to plowing. We had only so many horses. They had three plows, and they took all, otherwise I rode horseback. I would have ridden horseback. Mm-hmm. But the horses were all in the field.
Yeah.
Mother and I did the milking. It just so happened that I had two pairs of shoes. One pair was beautiful black patent leather, my Sunday shoes. I loved them.
Uh-huh.
And the other was some old buckskin shoes that I used for the farm and milking. Well, this particular morning that I was supposed to, Mother took me aside and she said, don't make a fuss about it. You can't drive, we had an old Ford. She said, you can't drive the car, and there is no way, but I don't want you to miss this. She said, you're going to get up early, and you're going to walk to town, the 6 miles. But she said, you have to help me with the milking. Other times the boys and father helped, but they were all in the field. Mm-hmm. So we went out to the barn to milk. Am I taking too long?
No.
We went out to the barn to milk, and wouldn't you know, we had an old Holstein cow who was very clumsy and very big, and she wasn't like the others at all. I was sitting there milking like crazy and making a sound in the milk pail, and suddenly she just decided to, I was sitting on an old bucket upside down, and she just decided to take some steps over to my side and tip me over backwards, just while I was milking. And I didn't fare so bad otherwise, but the milk that I had in the pail tipped over and poured into my left shoe. And I had intended to walk to town with these buckskin shoes and carry my patent leather shoes. But there was a problem now. How could I go with this milk-soaked shoe and appear there with these kids in town? I was a farm kid. And coming with a wet, dirty farm shoe would never do. So here's what I did. I found an old sock or two and put them on, and then put this soggy shoe on. And I took my patent leather shoes, put them in a paper bag, and walked. Mother said, "You go on, I'll finish the milking. Go on, take care of your shoe and see that you get there." So I did. Cleaned up. I remember I had a dress that had a midi, one of those sailor middies. I just loved it. I got myself all fixed up, and I put my old, kept my old shoes on, and I walked to town. When I got to the edge of town, there was a culvert, and there was a turn into town, and under there was a culvert. And I thought, I'll set my shoes into the edge of that culvert and put my patent leather shoes on, and nobody will ever know the difference. And that's what I did. There was grass, a little bit of grass over the opening of this culvert, and so I thought no more of it. Walked down the street as proud as you could imagine. I had no trouble with the examinations because I had a good teacher, and when it came evening, my father came to get me. When they came home from the fields and had supper, they came to get me because they wouldn't want me to walk home again. It was evening anyway. Mm-hmm. So when they picked me up, my brothers came along, and when we came to the edge of town, I said to Dad, "Would you please stop?" I didn't say please. We didn't say bitte in German. We didn't say please in those days. They didn't teach us those things so much.
Not so many manners, huh?
No. I wish they had. Oh. But anyway, we were polite. And so, but we didn't say bitte. We didn't say please. I don't remember. So he said, "Well, what in the world for? What do you want me to stop for?" He talked in German. "What do you want me to stop for?" And I said, "You'll see." And so he stopped the car, and I ran over there to the edge of this little culvert and reached in. Shoes were gone. Huh? And when I came back, I had to tell them. And my brothers laughed, and my father said, "Well, how in the world could that be that somebody took those shoes there? Somebody must have, oh, there were houses not far. They must have seen me do that, and they would look to see what I had set in there." And you know, to this day, I never have learned to know who took those shoes out of there. And I didn't have work shoes. I had to wear my patent leather for the rest of the time till it was Christmas. Then we got new shoes.
Oh. And you polished them up on Sundays as best as you could, huh?
Yeah, but oh, the shine, everything was gone. Because, yeah. But I took good care of them.
I suppose. Oh,
yeah.
Farm life is kind of hard on us.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. But that's how
that's
it happened.
That's an interesting story.
Who took my shoes?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, what about, you've already said about music. How about the cooking done by your mother? Do you remember some of the ethnic foods?
Yes, my mother made wonderful food. Have I got some of it written down?
Right down here.
Where is it?
24.
24, yes. Egg noodles, wonderful egg noodles, and we used them in casseroles, we used them in soup, we used them with butter over them. Oh, we ate a lot of egg noodles. Knipfle, do you know anything about Knipfle?
I love them.
Oh, they were so good.
I love them.
Mm-hmm. She made those very well. Kuchen of every kind, mm-hmm. and our favorite was topping with sour cream and prune topping on kuchen,
uh-huh.
and lots of sugar. And if anyone asked my mother, how do you make such wonderful good coffee cakes, she'd always say, when you use too much sugar, then it's enough. And you really had to, she would take handfuls and there would be this crusty, wonderful sugar topping on the coffee cake. That was her secret, too much sugar.
I see.
She made a wonderful topping for toast out of sour cream and onion. Cooked up sour cream with onion cut in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was good over toast.
Oh, I never heard of that.
And the toast we made on the back of the stove. We didn't have a toaster.
Oh.
So she always cleaned off the back of the stove. I can see her now. Mm-hmm. And she would lay these pieces of bread there, and we made toast in the morning.
Homemade bread, right?
Homemade bread, and she made homemade bread 3 times a week.
Oh, 3 times a week?
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of mouths to feed.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's see, what else did she make? Mumlik. Did you ever hear the word mumlik?
No.
It's made with corn. It's made of cornmeal.
No.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. She would make a big pot of cornmeal and she'd stir it and have it real smooth with no lumps. And then she would quickly turn it over on a large plate and she'd have a large mold, like a molded cake. And then over the top of that she would pour fat and all of the bacon, the pork that she had fried. She'd pour that right over the top, and it was so good with that cornmeal.
Nowadays we wouldn't eat that too much anymore. You know how that's spelled?
Mumlik.